Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Today, the Chicago Blackhawks sent a letter, a message to Blackhawk fans. Stan Bowman and the Chicago Blackhawks also put this out on social media. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number, 312-332-3776. Basically, this message to Blackhawk fans is that the Hawks are now rebuilding. And that if you are a Hawks fan and you are expecting this team to spend, to continue to build towards championships, there will be a rebuilding process that takes place before they get to that point. And in the message sent to fans, the second paragraph, it says, "We're committed to developing young players and rebuilding our roster. We want more than another window to win. We want to reach the summit again and stay there. An effort will require a stockpile of emerging talent to complement our top players. The influx of youth and their progression will provide roster flexibility and depth throughout our lineup." So there it is from the Chicago Blackhawks. They are rebuilding. I ask you this, Adam Abdallah. Haven't they been doing this for a couple minutes? Like, this isn't new to me.
Well, it's not.
This isn't new. No. Like, this is a fancy message you send out to the season ticket holders. But listen, if you look at the schedule, this team wasn't a playoff team. They manipulated the standings to get more teams into the playoffs because of the COVID-19 pandemic. You were not a playoff team. In fact, you were seventh in the Central Division this season. And you look back to last year, what, you were sixth? The year before that, you were seventh. Three straight years at the bottom of the division for the Chicago Blackhawks. Well, if you're trying to win championships, that's a failure. To me, this rebuild has started years ago, and I don't know why you need a message to Hawks fans today telling them that, yes, we are rebuilding. Yeah, thank you. Congratulations. We're aware. Your team is bad. You made the playoffs. Congrats. Normal years, you would not have made the playoffs this year.
Chris, a wise TV character with a magnificent mustache once said, "Never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing." And I have a feeling that the Blackhawks are trying to half-ass two things here. They're trying to rebuild while maintaining their high-profile stars. Because their philosophy is, and it's not a bad philosophy, is the second we trade Kane and Taves, we're going to be spending time looking for the next Kane and Taves. Right? You have those two there. Shouldn't you be able to build around them and still have sustained success? Well, you can try. But that doesn't mean it's going to work. Don't you think you could get back a plethora of draft picks and other potential young stars by trading Kane or by trading Taves? So to me, they know that the second they trade Kane and Taves, or one of them or both of them, that the butts in seats will disappear. Now, we don't know how many butts are going to be in how many seats this year because of coronavirus and when people can go back to games and whatnot. But regardless of that, the second you trade your stars, people are going to tune out until you're good again. We saw it before they got Kane and Taves. They weren't good. Yeah. Nobody went. Nobody watched. But then as soon as they were good, you had sold out games
Full
for
house.
Years.
Yeah.
You had cups. You had parades. You had everything.
Feel the roar.
You had a dynasty from this Blackhawks team. And so what happens? You got to reset. And that doesn't necessarily mean hanging on to your, I'm not saying aging, but they're getting older. Your superstars are getting older and they cost a lot of money. So you have to decide, and they've decided that they're going to me, like you said, haven't they been trying to do this for the last 2 years? Yeah, they've been half-assing a rebuild for 2 years and it hasn't worked. Because if you had a real playoff format, they wouldn't have made it last year or this year, this past year with the bubble cup. It wouldn't have happened. So next year, when they're in the same situation, guess what's going to happen? Oh, well, we're still trying to rebuild. We're trying to keep Kane and Taves. Okay, that's cool, but it's not going to work. because it's proven that it hasn't worked. For 2 years, it hasn't worked. They freed up some money. I believe you looked it up earlier. They're 12th in cap space. So they're going to try to do it.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen if they're going to do it or not.
Yeah, you know, like I'm pointing out, 2018, you have 76 points. You finished 7th in the division. 2019, 84 points, improvement, 6th in the division. And this season, 72 points, 7th. And I know that it's a different situation. You make the playoffs, but you are last in the division once again. So, okay, here's the message. Final paragraph. Quoted from the message from the Blackhawks to season ticket holders today, as our young players develop and learn how to win consistently, they'll make some mistakes. Inevitably, we'll miss the mark sometimes too, but we'll communicate openly with you on this journey together. We know that what comes next must be more than just words, and that inspires us. All right. Well, there you go. You got a message from the Chicago Blackhawks today. Congratulations, Blackhawks season ticket holders.
Did they say that they were extending Colleton before the season starts?
I just think why do you even do this? I guess is my point.
I don't know. That's a good question because
I don't get it. I don't get what
nothing has changed between last week when Bowman spoke after or was it 2 weeks ago, and now.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. So. I know Jonathan Toews talked to The Athletic, and they were concerned about his comments, but okay, so what?
Yeah, no, and that's the point. Like, so what? Like, listen, I don't know if, like, are they trying to win the PR battle against the Stars who have been here for a long time? Like, is that what this is? Because Toews has spoken out. They don't want Keith and Kane to come out and speak, and, you know, after you announced that you're not bringing Crawford back, so obviously there goes a huge piece of one cups here. Like, is this just to get it on the record that, hey, we let them know this is a rebuild, but Hawk fans, you're with us, and this is a journey for us together? I don't know. I don't read my, like, I just thought it was interesting. That's the news that
it's
broke
all
earlier
weird to
today.
Me. It's all weird to me.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. Other news breaking in the sports world today. The Miami Dolphins have announced today that they are going to Tua Tagovailoa as their starting quarterback. Yeah, that's right. Ryan Fitzpatrick has played well, and the Dolphins have been good to this point this season. And they are switching quarterbacks, and Fitzpatrick is healthy. So it's now Tua time in Miami. And the Dolphins now switch quarterbacks. And this tells me something, Abdallah, with this situation. It tells me that the Dolphins feel like they can win right now, and they are just a star player away at quarterback. Because what is the benefit here for the Dolphins to rush this along? To me, this is one of those cases where they look at their record and they look at the standings and they say, you know, if we can actually get some star play at the quarterback position, we might actually be able to make playoffs this year. We're actually ahead of schedule. That's what this tells me with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, well, they're 3-3. They're second in the AFC East. With this also tells me that if you've been reading what's been going on in Miami, they have a long-term plan, and Tua is part of that long-term plan. And Fitzpatrick was brought in as basically a spot starter until Tua was cleared. He was cleared before the season, and Fitzpatrick just kept on winning. They started the season 0-2, right? And then they beat the Jags, they lost to the Seahawks, they beat the 49ers, they beat the Jets. They're off this week. So you're not going to get Tua this week. And this, if you are going to make a change, is the best time to do it because you have 2 weeks to get, you know, first team reps, all that kind of stuff. Now, you have a tough test in that defensive line of the Rams coming up. And if you're worried about Tua's health, if he's cleared, he should be. You can't like, you know, tiptoe around this. If he's cleared, he's going to play. Tua's always been like that. I watched every game of Tua's time at Alabama. I will root for the kid no matter what team he's on. He is an amazing person, and he's someone you should be rooting for. I don't know if everybody saw it, but after the game, he went to where his drive ended, FaceTimed his parents because they couldn't be there because they couldn't travel.
Yeah.
And so, like, how do you not root for this kid? And people are like, oh, Fitzpatrick's going to be mad. Fitzpatrick was brought in to teach Tua. That's why he knows the drill.
He knew what
he's still getting paid. Don't act like he's still not getting paid. This is what he knows his role. And his role is to be Tua's mentor. And he's perfect for it. And now you get to see this kid play, and I'm super excited for it.
Right now in the AFC East, the Dolphins are 3-3. The Patriots are 2-3. The Bills are 4-2. So they're only a game behind the Buffalo Bills right now. And I think the Dolphins look at Joe Burrow. They look at Justin Herbert. And they see these two players who are rookies in the NFL starting immediately and playing well. And I know Herbert wasn't named the starter, but he's been playing for a couple weeks now. Mm-hmm. And he's looked really good. And in the offseason, some of the conversation was, how will young quarterbacks deal with a weird kind of training camp and ramp up to the NFL season? And the rookie quarterbacks may not have success early. Well, I think Burrow has proven and Herbert has proven that, no, actually, if you're pretty good at quarterback, you'll be fine. And now we're going to see the Miami Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa as their new quarterback.
And also, to me, that stuff doesn't matter. Like, do you think the Bengals care if they're winning games right now? They have the number one pick for a reason. They got Joe Burrow. They still need to add a ton around him to be a successful team. And if you're bad still, you can still get better picks. And eventually, those picks come to fruition, and then you're a better team. That's how this happens. So, of course, and then Herbert, they would have been stupid to not keep him in the way he's been playing and the way he's been progressing.
Absolutely.
The best way to get his experience is to get out there and play. And if Tua's ready, get him out there and start playing.
On last night's show, we ran out of time, but we had that ultimate candy ranking.
Yeah.
I want to get to that before we run out of time tonight. We have a short show. We're on till 7. Game 1 of the World Series is tonight, and you'll hear it right here on ESPN 1000. Tom in Oak Lawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up, Chris? What's up, Adam? Love you guys both. So,
thank you.
What's going on, man?
Well, first of all, as far as the Tua thing, it's not unprecedented. The Giants did it, you know, after they drafted Eli Manning. They had a winning record with Kurt Warner, yet they benched Kurt Warner and played the young kid. So it's not an unprecedented thing. And then the thing I wanted to talk about was regarding the Blackhawks. It's
yeah.
just I don't trust the guys up top to try to do this rebuild, you know, correctly, because there have been plenty of times where they had young, you know, talented guys that they ended up just trading away that are now, you know, doing well on other teams and such. I know Teuvo Teravainen is one that comes up to mind, you know, right off the top of my head. Ryan Hartman, some of them that way. Guys that could be on the team right now where then you wouldn't have to have this, you know, talk about rebuilding and such. You'd already have like young guys that could that would be on the team and helping out your core right now. So
thanks for the call, Tom. We appreciate it. Call again.
Yeah, sure. Love you guys.
Let's go to Mike in Evanston. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, hey, hi. Yeah, you guys did a terrific job. You're totally on point with the Hawks. And your previous caller was totally on point. Here's the thing. I've kind of lost confidence in Bowman, and I'll tell you why. Would any of these moves I'm talking about to talk about have made a difference? Probably not, but that doesn't mean you make big moves that are bad. All right, going back to when they signed Panarin to a 2 or 3 year deal, I can't recall, and they just signed him, and then all of a sudden they decide, well, we'd rather have Brandon Saad. Brandon Saad's a terrific hockey player. But when you trade away Panarin, you traded away magic. Because him and Kane had something that was magic. And you don't trade away magic. And now you went ahead and traded Saad and got very little for him. So those are two terrible trades. And your previous caller was right on, too. They've had young players that have turned out to be really good. So I don't know what they're doing. And I'm not sure that they know what they're doing. And I guess I'm a little frustrated because I haven't seen anybody come up with anything wonderful in a while.
Right. And, Mike, it's frustrating for them to come out today and say, now we're rebuilding, right?
Yeah, I mean, when they gave up Panarin, I mean, yeah. You don't get magic like him and Kane had very often. That doesn't come along very often. You don't trade away magic.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. Do you want to try and read this in a good hockey voice? Because, you know, like, read the part, the rebuilding part, right? Paragraph two.
Paragraph two.
Blackhawks statement to their fans today.
We're committed to developing young players and rebuilding our roster. We want more than another
We want
to get to the summit again and stay there, and an effort that will require a stockpile of emerging talent to complement our top players. The influx of youth and their progression will help provide roster and flexibility and depth throughout our lineup for this organization. We are already the youngest team of the 2020 playoffs, and several Blackhawks.
So Dalla doesn't have a hockey voice.
For the first time.
We should have practiced.
This will help further establish a culture that embraces the grind of improvement, driven by competitors who are relentless.
Give it back.
And grind improvement, driven by competitors who are relentless. I already read that part. Engaged by motivation and team first mentality to win. As our young players develop and learn how to win consistently, they'll make some mistakes inevitably.
We're done.
We'll miss the mark sometimes too.
Yes.
But we'll communicate openly with you along this journey together in this organization. We know what comes next.
You got that one.
Yeah.
Must be more than words that inspire us. Sincerely, the Chicago Blackhawks organization.
Hey. I think organization is the only one that you know.
That's the one word. If you ask thespians and actors and actresses,
thank you for this message.
All you need to get is one word, and you hone everything around that word. And the word in hockey is organization.
All right, you nailed it.
And if you want,
you're listening to Black and Abdallah,
ESPN 1000,
organization,
Chicago's home for sports.
Pucks.
You can listen to the show on the ESPN Chicago app. Download the app today. You can also download the Black and Abdallah podcast right there on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also call the show at 312-332-3776. Marco in North Riverside talking Blackhawks with Black and Abdallah. What's up, Marco?
Hey, guys. This feels a lot like what the White Sox did when they prepped us for firing of Ricky Renteria. So here they're telling us they're going to rebuild. Here they're telling us that they're going to commit to the youth, and maybe something big is on the horizon this weekend where they do make a move and move a Kane or a Toews. And I have to completely disagree with the previous callers. Although we put a lot of credit to Dale Talon for the Cups and putting this team together, the Bowmans found the talent that are good someplace else. They have an eye for the talent. They're going to bring in some good electric, you know, fast foreign hockey players that are going to put the biscuit in the basket. And I just got to commit to the Indian and trust in Bowman.
Yeah, absolutely. And stay out of the crease. I agree, Marco. You know, the one thing to point out with that, though, is Toews and Kane have the no movement clauses. So if the Hawks want to move them, they would have to get their blessing to do so. And both players want to be here from what they've said to this point. So I wouldn't be expecting another move to take place.
Yeah, they're committed to the Indian.
Ryan in Texas listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Ryan, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? So the point I want to make is that they should have started the rebuild back in, I think it was about 4 years ago when the Predators played the Penguins in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
The Blackhawks got swept by the Predators, outplayed, outhit. They didn't look like a playoff team, and I even think their record that year was, I think they were in first or second place. But when they got to the playoffs, they were just done. They looked dead. And I think that letter that the organization wrote today should have been written like 4 or 5 years ago when they were humiliated by the Predators on national TV.
Yeah, and Ryan, to that point, that was 2017 when that happened. I mean, and I know that really, if you don't think about it quickly, it might seem like, yeah, it wasn't too long ago. You think back to that series, Ryan, and the Predators were just outskating the Hawks. They were a better hockey team. They sweep the Hawks out of the playoffs in the first round.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. I lived in Nashville at the time, and it was embarrassing. It was horrible. I hated it. Like,
yeah.
No, the rebuild needed to happen there. I mean, Stan Bowman has a bunch of bad contracts. You know what I'm saying? He can't keep players like Panarin because they're too much money, and he has to bring back previous players that he won with, like Saad and Versteeg and Andrew Shaw, hoping that they're going to find something that they had before. But those players are getting old and slow, and it's just not working out for Stan.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem.
That's Ryan in Texas. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I mean, it's just a weird... Yeah. Like, okay, the Blackhawks sent this message to fans today.
Congratulations.
That's the news.
You wrote a letter.
All right. Last night on the program, we ran out of time to get to this. Mm-hmm. And you have some very polarizing thoughts. I wouldn't say that these are hot takes, but you have some thoughts on this next story. And the story is 538 released their ultimate Halloween candy power rankings. Mm-hmm. And here is the top 10. 10, Butterfinger. 9, Peanut Butter M&M. 8, Reese's Stuffed with Pieces. 7, Milky Way. 6, Reese's Pieces. 5, Snickers. 4, Kit Kat. 3, Twix. 2, Reese's Miniatures. And number 1, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. That's the top 10 from 538. They released a ultimate candy power ranking based on win percentage of going back and forth between all the different candies you can get for Halloween. Halloween's in a couple of weeks, right around the corner. Abdallah, your thoughts on this top 10 from 538?
I see a lot of peanut. 60% involved the nut.
Yeah, a lot of nut. A
lot of nut. For those that have nut allergies, I guess you got to go through your candy or whatever. Like, what do kids with nut allergies do at Halloween?
Starburst.
Starburst, Twix. You can eat a Twix, can't you?
Yeah.
The Cookie Crunch or the Caramel.
Crunch Bar.
You can eat a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
You can eat a Milky Way.
M&M's.
You can even eat a Butterfinger.
Skittles.
You could probably have a Three Musketeers.
Yeah. So basically anything on the list that's not
peanut. That's not peanut. Have you ever had 100 gram before?
Yes, I have.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not great. The best. Where's the whatchamacallit on here? Because I feel like the whatchamacallit is highly underrated. You get a little bit of everything in a whatchamacallit.
So if you go to the story on 538, mm-hmm. I think they don't have all of the candies on there. They do have the top 19 listed. Skittles is 19.
So did you scroll all the way to the bottom? Scroll all the way to the bottom.
Oh, the list. Okay, it goes to 86.
Okay, what's 85?
I don't know what that is.
Say it on the radio.
No.
Say nickel nip.
What?
Nickel nip. What's a nickel nip?
I don't know. Can we Google that?
Sounds like a cold day.
You Google. You have your private computer here. I'm not going to use a work computer for that.
Nickel nip. I don't like that peanut butter M&M is the highest rated M&M.
Oh, you know what nickel nips are? Nickel.
No, I don't.
No, we have no idea what that
nickel
is.
Nickel nips are, they're the little bottles.
Oh,
it's like colored syrup, and you break off top.
I know
and
those.
You can drink them.
I don't think I've ever had
they're
one of
wax
those.
Bottle candy drinks.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's all. Who's giving out nickel nips?
People with crappy Halloween treats that they're handing out. So, like, obviously this year is going to be different. Like, if you have kids, and or if you live in a building and you put out candy for kids for Halloween, there's going to be different ways to do this because of socially distancing. I even saw in the news they had someone who built like a little ramp going down the stairs to their front door, and they could drop a candy into the little ramp. And at the bottom, there's like a cup, and it drops into the cup, and the kid could just catch it like at the bottom.
You know, I live on the second floor. We have a porch.
You're just going to
throw
candy out your porch at kids.
Just throw minis at kids.
Hey, kid!
I'm going to be standing. Even if they're not trick-or-treating, I'm just going to stand up there and pelt kids with candy, with nickel nips. I'm going to go buy a bunch of nickel nips and throw them at kids.
And dum-dums and now-and-laters. Because now-and-laters have some weight to them, don't they?
Now-and-laters are tough, man. Yeah, those things will pull your teeth out, man.
Whip those half a block, I think.
That'll be a black eye, I feel like. Yeah. I feel like a now and later could do
All right, so let's go around the room. Eric, favorite Halloween candy?
It's Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, so you're like everyone else on the list?
But I love Reese's. Chocolate and peanut butter, great combo.
All right. Abdallah?
Snickers.
I see. You can
I like Snickers.
Sneak in a meal there with
he's
that Snickers.
Cranky a lot.
I like Snickers. I almost went Milky Way. But I like having the extra peanut crunch in there, so give me a Snickers.
If I had to pick, I'd probably go Skittles.
Ew.
Probably Skittles. That's my favorite. Skittles. I'm not a chocolate guy.
Skittles over Starburst, then?
See, and that's where, that in my head, it was Starburst, Skittle, or Twizzler. Like, those are the three leaders of the non-chocolate candies. And I think I would go Skittles over the Starburst? Because, like, half of the Starbursts are a waste anyway. The yellow Starbursts are such a waste.
Yeah, but do you know Skittles aren't even
Starburst
actually flavored,
in
right?
in general are
Eric,
a waste.
We don't need to. You
We're
don't need
get
to.
Into that. I want real flavor, not essence.
The Skittles have different flavors.
No, they're essence. They're scents.
It's all the same.
Yeah, but they all they taste different. It's not like M&M's.
The M&M's are all the same.
They smell different.
What do you mean they smell different?
They don't taste different. Wait, they're the same flavor. They just add essence. They add scents to it.
Are you going around sniffing Skittles?
This is fact. This is Google Facts.
So
I love Google Facts.
What stoned ass?
Yeah, this
what
probably happened at some point. But yeah.
What?
Yep. Google it.
Hey, man, smell these Skittles, man. They all smell different,
if we
man.
Had Skittles, I wish we could smell some Skittles right now. Are there any Skittles laying around in here?
No, I got a couple nickel nips you could smell, though.
Weird.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. Go.
You can tweet the show at Chris Black or at Adam A. Abdallah. Smokey Bandit tweets us. Nickel Dips. Necco Wavers. Candy Corn. The worst candies ever. Top three are Snickers, M&M, Peanut, and Twix.
Were Necco Wafers the one that you could use as quarters?
No, they were just plain.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying.
What do you mean?
Were Necco Wafers the one you could use as quarters?
Like to buy
to
things?
Use in a vending machine.
No,
I
they
believe
don't,
those were the ones that you could. They were the same size as a quarter.
Really? No,
yes.
They're bigger than that. Wouldn't it snap off when you went to put it in the little slot there?
I don't know.
As you look at it,
it works.
Man comes up with funny way to avoid paying tolls. I'm looking at a story right here. Rockford's 98.5, Rockford's number one new country. Imagine heading to Wisconsin on I-90 at a breezy through South Beloit Toll Plaza and not having to fork over the 95 cents or $1.95 if you're paying by cash, charging your iPass. This guy, when he discovered Necco Wafers, worked in toll plazas.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Don't try that.
They're that heavy?
Don't try that.
Okay.
The Black and Abdallah program does not endorse. We're just reporting the news.
All right. Well, there you go. We are through 6 weeks in the NFL. Each week on Tuesdays, we like to look at the five best teams in the NFL and the five worst teams in the NFL in a segment.
Are we going to... Is it still five up? Are we still calling it five
what
up?
What just
five?
Happened to
well,
you?
Well, I want to know, are we calling it five up, five down? Or for the next 2 weeks, because it's leading up to Halloween, can we call it Reese's and Nickel Nips? Can we give out our Reese's and our Nickel Nips?
No.
Okay. Well, I am.
Okay. All right. You can do that. Back to what I was saying. We look at the five best teams in the NFL and the five worst teams in the NFL. It's a segment we call Five Up, Five Down.
Up and down.
Five up.
High five.
Five down.
Down low. Too slow.
Five up and five down with Black and Abdallah.
Five, five, five.
Sell, sell, sell. On ESPN 1000.
Wait for it.
And down.
What did you want to call it because of Halloween?
Reese's and Nickel Nips. Like, I'm going to give you my two Nickel Nips of the week.
All right, go ahead. You lead.
All right. Are we starting up or down?
Five best teams in the NFL.
The five best teams. Number one. The Pittsburgh Steelers are number one. You see what I'm doing here? I'm giving you one first, and I'm going to show you one in a little bit. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the number one team. You said it last week. I'll jump on that bandwagon this week after seeing them absolutely dismantle the Browns. I'm looking at the new DVOA numbers are out. They're the third best team according to DVOA, the second best defense, the ninth best offense, and the seventh best special teams. I think if you look at DVOA, they have the best combination of the three. Tampa Bay is still number one, but Pittsburgh has the three highest when you look at, like, all of them combined. Because Tampa Bay has the seventh best offense, the best defense, but the 17th best special teams. I think the Steelers have the three best overall numbers. So the Steelers are number one. They're the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
So who's your number five team that I asked for?
No, I'm not doing it in that order.
Okay. I'll follow your lead then, and I'll give you the Steelers as well. You're right. The 38-7 win over the Browns, third in defensive yards per play, and like you said, laid it out with the Football Outsider stats. Pittsburgh right now, to me, is the best team in the NFL. Number two.
I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. They have the number two offense. They have the number 10 defense. Their special teams are garbage, though. They're 29th in special teams. I think you saw changing the schedule and dealing with everything. That win over the Bills was big. I still think you've got Patrick Mahomes. You've got, you know, you just added Le'Veon Bell. You've got Allaire. I think they're just a great team. They're number two for me.
You know, number two, just because this team had a bye week last week, they're 5-0, the Seattle Seahawks. I'm still sticking with that impressive drive at the end of the game to beat Minnesota from 2 weeks ago. And I get it, the Vikings are a bad team, but Russell Wilson led the way, impressive at the end. 5-0 Seahawks, that's my number two team. Who do you have at number three?
Number three, I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. They have the number one offense in the NFL, the number four special teams in the NFL, but the 26th defense. So they need to shore up that defense, or else they could be in for some shootouts in the playoffs.
You and I go flippy floppy here because I have the Chiefs as the third best team in the NFL at 5-1. Big win on the road over the Buffalo Bills. Their offense clearly really good. Fourth in yards per play offensively. You're right. The defense has to improve, but I have them as the third best team in the NFL. Number four.
The Baltimore Ravens, the number two team according to DVOA. They have the fourth best defense, number one in special teams. The passing game still needs to get going, but they just continue to win games. So give me the ball. And in very good, quick fashion, too. I know it got dicey there at the end against the Eagles, but I'm still going to take them as their script works, right? When they come out fast. They score early. They score often in that first half. That first half bet continues to cash. So keep it on.
I agree with you at number four, the Ravens. The only stat I would add to this is they're fifth on defense in yards per play. So their defensive unit is really good, and I think Lamar Jackson's continually to kind of find his way as a quarterback in the NFL. I know he won the MVP last season. There's been some articles coming out that, like, hey, he's actually not that good as a quarterback. He's better as a runner. I think he'll figure it out, though. 5-1. I like the Ravens at number four. Your number five team, five best teams in the NFL. Who do you have?
Don't let the prognosticators out there. Don't let the scribes out there tell you any different. Don't let the haters tell
pundits?
You any different.
Are there pundits?
Don't tell the pundits.
Right.
Don't let them cloud your mind.
Oh,
Eric, producing tonight's show. What wins championships?
Defense.
The Chicago Bears are the number five team in the NFL. They've got the defense. They've got a kicker. No more propaganda.
Wow.
They've got the offense is going to be a problem. Well, because I can't say the offense. Right. They have a top five defense.
Wow.
Stats are there. They might be as good as the 2018 defense, minus the takeaways. But takeaways are like 80% luck. To me, the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
Are the number five team in the NFL. Take that.
Wow.
Take that.
Wow.
Take that.
2 weeks ago, I gave you the Bears in the top five, and you looked at me like I was nuts.
Yeah, I needed to see some things first.
And I've seen them.
I've seen them.
All right. Okay. I like your enthusiasm. My number five team, I'm going to keep a team that's undefeated at number five. The Titans are 5-0. I get it. Their defense.
They can't stop nobody.
Right. Their defense, as I was saying, 28th in defensive yards per play. They cannot stop anybody. That was on my sheet right here. Cannot stop anybody. And I don't trust Ryan Tannehill. Shout out to those who listened to Waddle and Sylvie today from 2 to 6.
So hold on. Wait a minute. You don't trust Ryan Tannehill. They can't stop anybody. Eric, what wins championships?
Defense.
Okay. So you're putting you're putting them above the Bears?
At the moment, yes,
Hater.
Because they're 5-0. Yes, the Chicago Bears are a team that 5-1 I like. And I would say next teams up, the Bears, the Packers, the Rams, and the Bucks. But right now, in my five up, I have the Titans at number five.
Hater.
Let's take a look at the bottom of the NFL. Number 28. Who do you have at 28?
The Nickel Nips, the 28th team, the Falcons.
Someone's going to tune in and be like, what is he talking about?
They'll look it up. The Falcons. The Falcons are the 28th team. You know why I'm putting them there? Because I don't bet on or against them. Don't bet on them. Don't bet against them. They're going to screw you no matter what. Don't ever put any money involving the Falcons ever.
Man,
ever.
Accountability Tuesday here. I totally misread the Vikings-Falcons.
Oh, yeah, so did I. So did
not
everybody.
Stand the Falcons.
So did everybody.
The Falcons, for me, have crawled out of the basement with that win. Hmm. Put at number 28, the Cincinnati Bengals. I thought that they'd be a little bit more frisky of a team with Joe Burrow here in his first year.
Okay.
Surprised that they're so bad. Number 29.
The WFTs, the Washington Football Team, I put them up high, lower. I mean, but they have an okay defense. They have an okay defense. That's kind of their saving grace right now. But other than that, they have the seventh best defense in the NFL. So I'm gonna say, but other than that, 30th offense, 23rd special teams, 27th overall in DVOA. No, thank you.
Number 29 for me. Give me the Jags. Okay. Minus 56 point differential. Mm-hmm. They're awful in most categories. You point to the DVOA. They're 28th in DVOA. So Jacksonville will be number 29. Who do you have at 30?
I have 30 are the Jags for all the reasons you said.
30 for me, the New York Giants. Their point differential is minus 51. I know they just beat the WTFs, the WFTs.
No, you were right the first time.
Well, it's all the same, right? The football team, but we'll get to them in just a moment. 31.
So 31 and 32, the two nickel nips, if you will, because you have to have two.
Do they really come in a package of two?
No, they come in like 4 or 12, but, you know, we're talking nips here, so we're going to have two nickel nips. And so it's the Giants and the Jets.
To be honest, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Giants and the Jets, the two nickel nips.
No, I heard you the first time. I don't know what that's a reference to.
It's a Halloween candy.
No, I know. But when you shortened it and you said that, you got to have two.
Well, you got to have two.
Yeah. There's, okay. All right. I know someone out there got what I'm saying. Your Twitch people can see what you're looking at. Number 31, I have the football team. Because when you lose to the Giants by a point and your point differential is actually worse than the Giants, you got to go to 31. So Washington is 31. The Giants at 30. And then we agree at 32, the Jets. Their point differential, 110.
Ugh.
Minus 110. The Jets are by far the worst team in the NFL.
Nobody wants that.
And that's five up and five down.
Up and down.
Five up.
High five.
Five down.
Down low. Just low.
Five up and five down with Black and Abdallah.
Five up. Sell, sell, sell.
On ESPN 1000.
Nickel nips.
Like I said, this is a fast show tonight. Early lines coming up next for week 7.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Go to the App Store, download the ESPN Chicago app today. You can get all of our content right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Thank you to Eric Ostrowski for producing tonight's show. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Game 1 of the World Series, the Rays, the Dodgers. You can hear it right here on ESPN 1000. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock. Rays, Dodgers, World Series. Throughout the season, we were hosting the baseball show here on ESPN 1000. We documented that the Rays, for the majority of the season, were the best team in the AL. And the Dodgers were, hands down, from the moment the season started, the best team in the NL. Now they meet in the World Series. It should be fantastic. And you can hear all the action right here on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw gets to start tonight. You know, so it's always, will playoff Kershaw show up? Or will he be able to get the job done for the Dodgers? Will all that money that they spend finally come to fruition in a title?
Yeah, and you know, like Kershaw, the thing that, like, I get it. Will playoff Kershaw show up? It's a narrative that is out there because of what we've seen on the field. He's one of the great pitchers of our time, if not the best pitcher of the last couple of decades, right? And he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. Now, if he wins a World Series, he starts Game 1, and if this series continues on, if he gets a second start and pitches well, he has an opportunity here to kind of wash away some of that negative conversation about his choking in the playoffs in the past.
Yeah.
He can do it here in this World Series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that if I had money to bet on tonight's game, it would probably go on the Dodgers and Kershaw, just because of the, like, he's been there before, right? Like, right. And I know, the odds tell you that Kershaw, yes, it's the playoff, yes, the lights are brighter, all that kind of stuff, but I would say that it's more likely that he is going to pitch well than not.
All right, so each week here on Tuesdays, one of our other favorite NFL segments that we have on Tuesday evenings here on Black and Abdallah is we take a look at the lines, the early lines, week 7 in the NFL. We're already there.
Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early,
we take an early peek at the NFL lines.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye, the Gambletron 2000 says the winner is...
Hey, hey, man. Aren't you a little bit early?
Early lines with Black and Abdallah.
You need to know the winner, and I know the winner.
On ESPN 1000.
Early lines, and, you know, Bears-Rams is the game that finishes up the week. It's Monday Night Football. The line right now, the Bears are the underdog heading to Los Angeles against the Rams. The spread is a 5.5-point spread. Bears are the underdog getting the 5.5 points.
What's that money line?
Money line right now, Bears plus 205.
Ooh,
baby.
Ooh, sprinkle.
Are we doing sprinkle. A little sprinkle
okay,
on the Bears
well,
already?
Look. The defense this year is better than it was last year, right? Okay. The quarterback this year is better than it was last year.
I agree.
Last year's game, close or not close?
Last year's game was close.
Okay.
But they lost.
I know.
And Trubisky had the hug. He had
He was crying.
At no point did it show him crying on the sidelines.
You knew.
He had a nice hug.
I would sprinkle a little money line right now.
A little sprinkle.
I think this line's going to move a lot.
I think it will too.
Get on it.
Yeah. Of course it is. Speaking of lines that have moved a lot, can I direct your attention to Saturday real quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
So Michigan Minnesota,
yeah.
Saturday night. This game opened as Minnesota a 1.5-point favorite
okay.
against Michigan.
All right.
The line now is Michigan. A 3.5-point favorite. That is a 4-point swing in a matter of this line came out on Saturday. It's Tuesday. In a matter of 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
I don't think if you look at the Big Ten, I don't think you could argue that Michigan is just hands down better than Minnesota.
Well, you know what they tell you to do when the public goes one way and the money's all flowing in the other way.
Go the other way.
Go the other way. And it's already you're already paying extra juice. So this could come back down to plus three for Minnesota. So this is the definition of if you bet this at Minnesota -1.5, how mad are you right now if you got this on Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely mad.
Now, if you want Michigan and you got it at +1.5, good for you.
There you go.
Good for you.
There you go. Go blue. Let's go this Sunday. The Steelers and the Titans, two undefeated teams facing off. Pittsburgh is a favorite on the road. 2 points, the spread. Steelers on the road to Tennessee. And if you and I think that Pittsburgh is the best team in the NFL, you play Pittsburgh, right? A 2-point line at the moment. I would imagine this is going to move as well.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you that one. What I'm looking at here is the Packers and Texans. The over-under right now is 56.
Woo.
56. Texans ain't stopping nobody.
No.
We saw what Tom Brady did to the Packers on Sunday
Packers
afternoon.
Packers go for 40 in this game?
I think they could both go for 40 in this game. I think this goes over. I think this game's in the 60s.
Let's see. The first half line is 27.5.
Woo! That's a lot of first half points, though, too.
2.5 spread. The Packers are the favorite in that game on the road.
Another one I am looking at, Chris, is the Seahawks. Now, the Cardinals coming off of a big win last night on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks, a 3.5-point favorite on the road against the Cardinals.
A week off, too. The Seahawks have been off. I feel like there'll be a little bit too much over love for the Cardinals.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow night at 6, and we'll also be with Waddle and Sylvie tomorrow at 2.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.